And so we will we'll continue. And again, Lord, we're so grateful that you have chosen us, although at times we're a bit frightened because we're so unfaithful. But we thank you that you do not break your covenant with us as we do, that we can always come back, and no matter where we've been, that you can heal us and you give us whatever we need to accomplish our mission. And so, even though the call to be an instrument of unity is probably the greatest challenge that we have in our lives, we trust that you will make it possible for us so we do not displease Jesus, who died so that we may be united, that we may be one. And so I go back to Saint Teresa. You know that when you spend time in adoration and contemplation of the living Christ, you walk in calm, trusting peace. You find it easier to complete mundane tasks, and love flows easily from you because he has had ample opportunity to fill your soul with divine love. I think of Saint Augustine saying, when we pray, we lift up our souls to the Lord. And that's what it says in the psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. And Saint Augustine says, the Lord fills your soul and it overfills. And with the overflowing, like the 12 baskets of bread that are left after the multiplication of the loaves, then there's more, not only for our, there's lots not only for us, but lots for all the others around us. So where do we pick up this capacity to love? Obviously, in adoration and contemplation. And now we might say, well, isn't the Mass where we should get that from? Why doesn't she mention the Eucharist as such, the celebration of the Eucharist? Well, in the words of Pope Paul VI, he says, you will not be able to interiorize the Eucharistic celebration without prayer. And so today we have seen many people not coming to church, not going to church even on Sundays. Why aren't they not coming? I would venture to say that the home is not a place of prayer anymore. When the home becomes a place where people are busy with everything except prayer, there are no holy pictures even in the house, and people are watching television or spending time on the internet or whatever sports or whatever things they're doing, how could they possibly be interested in wanting to come to Mass? And how could the children want to come to Mass? And so we must not forget that our faith is nothing to do with magic. Because I bring a child to Mass, it doesn't mean he's going to be converted. If he has not experienced the presence of God in the home, then he will not be able to interiorize the Mass. That is, to enter into this wonderful mystery of love and to hear in the words of Jesus, the greatest manifestation of love, this is my body given for you, my blood shed for you. That's not going to mean anything. And some people won't even kneel at the consecration because it doesn't mean anything to them, obviously. If they understood if they would have interiorized this mystery, they would definitely kneel. And I remember even at in a certain church where people never knelt, didn't kneel, and they had a celebration, of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And of course, the people who are interested in Our Lady are people who are saying the rosary and they're praying. They all knelt. I hadn't seen that for a long time in that church. I won't say which one it is. So you could see that. Don't expect to convert people by bringing them to church. The conversion starts with prayer, especially contemplation and silence. And then when they come to Mass, the power of the Eucharist then is unleashed, and they become filled with the Holy Spirit even more. And so, as it says in the documents, every time we celebrate the Eucharist, the Spirit of God is increased within us. So I continue with, and so she says, Saint Teresa, I am giving you specific instructions because in order to be calm during times of upheaval, you must have sound practice and discipline. If you live simply, observing simple habits, you will have less difficulty, and so on. And so again, it is, I believe, it's worth repeating, really, that we have a mission. Jesus has chosen us. And I read from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, starting with verse 12. He starts by saying, you are God's chosen race, His saints. He loves you, and you should be clothed. And here he describes the kind of clothes we're supposed to wear. And maybe we have to ask ourselves if we are wearing these clothes, of course. You should be clothed with, first, sincere compassion, then kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. So the first one is sincere compassion. Compassion means to suffer with, to be involved in somebody's sufferings. Now we might say, I have no problem when I go to the hospital and I see people who don't even know where they are, or I see somebody on the road who's had an accident. I have no problem to feel compassion. But the challenge is to have compassion for sinners, to have compassion for people who are struggling and they're not succeeding too well in getting rid of sin. Pride, lust, greed, addictions. Am I willing to enter into their life, to walk into their shoes, as it were? Am I willing to be there, to suffer with them? How many alcoholics wouldn't want to be free? They may appear like this because they go on. But as I'm told, alcoholics hate alcohol. Are we there with them? Or do we judge them? Do we say they're good for nothing? Do we shun them? And yet, we might think we're very compassionate because we're helping people that maybe with our money or whatever, and maybe even our prayers. But we're not ready to suffer with those who struggle against the powers of evil in their lives. We judge them, we shun them, we talk about them, And certainly they do not see the love of Christ in our eyes. The love that Peter experienced after he betrayed him. As Jesus turned and looked at him. Sincere compassion, kindness and humility. It's interesting that St. Paul puts kindness and humility together. As much as saying, if you're not humble, you're not able to be kind. Because to be kind means to be of the same kind, to be related, to accept that we're one, that we belong to the same family. The opposite of that is the Pharisee saying in the parable, I thank you, I'm not like the rest of men. I cannot be kind to someone if I think I'm better than they are. I have to understand where I come from. We all come from the same Adam and Eve. They are our first parents. We can't deny that. So we are like the rest of men. If we have been rescued, it's not because we're better than the people who haven't. It's just that they haven't been yet. And the Lord is bringing, is placing them into our lives for a very special purpose. Not to condemn them, but to be kind to them. To make them feel that we're like them. That we too needed to be rescued. And we may even be invited to share with them why we have managed to win the battle. What a difference that would make, wouldn't it, in the world, when we have kindness, which is supported, in a sense, by our humility, the understanding of our own sinfulness, like the tax collector. I thank you, I'm not like, instead of saying, I thank you, I'm not like the rest of men, we constantly say every morning as we get up, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am a sinner. And part of the clothing then is compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. We could say that gentleness is the opposite of aggressivity. I always look at gentleness symbolized by the lamb who allowed himself to be brought to trial or whatever, like Jesus, without saying a word. To be gentle, to be meek. And there's a promise that is in the Beatitude about those who are meek. They will possess the earth. How many are trying to possess the earth with aggressivity, with wars, attacks of all kinds? And yet, they could win many people over if they were gentle, in spite of what these same people are doing to them. Allowing them to be hit on the cheek twice, on the right and on the left, to walk the extra mile. Gentle. And then gentle is linked is with patience. We could not be gentle unless we're patient. Patient means the willingness to suffer. If we're not patient, that is, we're not willing to suffer, we will become aggressive. And so these are the clothes we're supposed to wear. Because we are a chosen people, and this is the kind of clothing that we've been handed on, been given to us through our baptism and the sacraments,